Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:20 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Excuse me, it's Pacific Summer Time. I'm going to have to get used to saying that. And it is March 13th. Well, we had an eventful day on stock markets today where an early advance was reversed on Wall Street. But what I'd like to focus on to begin with is this comparison between the Morgan Stanley India closed-end fund and the China Fund Inc. in the USA. They're relatively similar funds in that they follow two of the big emerging markets. They've both have a record of paying out chunky special dividends, and they have been around for a considerable period of time. So they offer a pretty good comparison for the relative fortunes of investing in either India or China. And of course, it's not an either-or designation, but I'm sure that subscribers at this stage will have gleaned from particularly the long-term audios that I'm becoming progressively a little more leery of China just because of the deteriorating state of standards of governance that are visible there now. And what that suggests is that the country deserves an additional risk premium. It does not mean that we're going to have an imminent decline, but rather that we're going to that it does require an additional risk premium. And India and China are at almost polar opposites, where China has infrastructure, India doesn't. Where India has a vibrant domestic consumer economy, China has struggled, and it has gone the way of trying to promote a digital economy. India is moving towards a digital economy as well, so that's something they both share. Then, but the when we think about the standards of governance, how do you define that? That's, I think, a very important consideration. Well, the first thing that we look for is minority shareholder interests. China doesn't really have those. India does. When you look at an independent judiciary, India has that, China doesn't. When you look at an independent press, or a free press, India has that, China doesn't. So then when we look at the total return of those two funds over the course of the last 30-odd years, well, India has outperformed by a considerable margin since they both broke out in 2003. But what is interesting is that if one were to simply put the S&P 500 as a barometer in between the two, then it bisects the performance of both. And that is where you see that, for example, by owning China since the early 1990s, you didn't do particularly well relative to the S&P 500, but India outperformed. And that is, I think, one of the testaments to governance. What a number of economists have said over the years is that GDP does not correlate with stock market performance, and there's ample evidence to support that. But it should be caveated, because GDP growth does correlate with stock market performance if you have improving governance, or more especially, you need improving governance in order to have a thriving stock market. And that is what you get in some emerging markets and you don't in others. But what it also means is that your relative risk, and from the perspective of a long-term investor, the greatest risk of all is that once you've invested your money and you come back to get it later, you don't get it back. And that is the biggest risk. Well, if you have improving standards of governance and you have minority shareholder interests that can be backed up by the courts, well, the chances are that you will be able to go back and get your money. That's something I think that is an important consideration from the perspective of a long-term investor. Governance really is everything. Well, when we look at Wall Street in here today, the Dow Jones reversed an early advance to finish down on the day. Now, if it follows through on the downside tomorrow, well, that is going to suggest that we have another lower high. And it contributes to this broad-ranging environment. If, on the other hand, if it reverses, well, then that is also going to have a knock-on effect. But what I continue to think is that this is representative of a rotation that's going on within the stock market, because Boeing is by far the largest constituent of the Dow Jones, and it is really susceptible to some additional consolidation, considering just how much it has rallied relative to the trend mean. Then, when we look, for example, at the NASDAQ 100, it was also in negative territory, and that is a clear downside key reversal in here today. And when we look at the biggest decliners, well, Qualcomm was certainly in there because there are two big news items in here today. The first is that the Trump administration is weighing down on proposed mergers on national security concerns. That's certainly one issue. And then Rex Tillerson was fired rather unceremoniously. So, and it is almost like having somebody break up with you via text to be fired via Twitter. That was a rather ignominious end to his career in politics. But what it is contributing to is at least some profit taking within the stock market. Perhaps the most important share to that people will be monitoring is Amazon, and it was down in here today, and that is a very small key reversal. So when we look at key reversals on something like Amazon, and it is very small, the key to the key is size, so it is going to have to follow through in a dynamic fashion on the downside to confirm that we have a peak of more than short-term significance. But certainly there is, I think, increasing evidence that this stock market advance is looking a little tired, not least because it was such an impressive advance. Now, when we look at Apple, then you also have a key reversal in here. So that's an additional sign here that there is the potential that this is going to be a failed upside break for some of these technology shares. Then, if we look at Google, well, Google had not gone all the way up to new highs, but that is a downward dynamic from the region of the previous peak. And Facebook, which has been the least impressive in terms of its rallies, was also down in a reasonably dynamic fashion in here today. It is still above its trend mean, but this does look like a lower high in here. And there is, I think, additional potential here for some consolidation. Well, when we look at it in these terms, we've had a very impressive rally from the technology shares. And Microsoft was also down in a dynamic fashion in here today, and that is another one that has had a downside key reversal because the high today was at a very marginal new high, and it certainly closed below of the previous day. So it is looking increasingly likely that we are getting failed upside breaks in a number of these shares. If we get a failed upside break, the rule of thumb from the chart seminar is that they will go back down and test the lower side of their respective ranges. So for Microsoft, that's 85. And that means there's about at least $10 of risk in the share if we get a failed upside break. And it would con a confirmation of the failed upside break would be ex a follow through on the downside tomorrow. So I think that is something that we really should be paying attention to. Well, considering that it is the NASDAQ that had by far the most impressive advance of the major stock markets. If we look at, for example, the S&P 500, then it got up to 2,800, and then it also has this key reversal. What I also find particularly interesting is that it had a key reversal at the peak that we saw at the end of February as well. We had 3 days on the downside, and then it popped back up on the upside. And that would suggest that there is potential now for some additional downside in here, and that is at least going to go back and give us an indication whether we're going to have a continued progression of higher reaction lows, whether it will find support around that 2660 level, or whether we are going to go back down and test the low from early February. But this continues to represent a corrective environment overall, which is likely to be characterized by ranging. And if the environment is going to be characterized by ranging, well, then the likelihood is that we're going to have both, we're going to have more back and forth action, and the market has been up on consecutive weeks, so now it is likely that we're going to have at least some consolidation and potentially lower to lateral ranging. Then when we look at the banks index, well, the S&P 500 banks was also in negative territory, but not in as dynamic a fashion, and also it didn't rally nearly as impressively. Well, when we look at Europe then, what we can see is that the market did not rally to the same extent as Wall Street did, but that is also a key reversal on the Euro Stoxx index. And if we get downside follow through tomorrow, well then the chances are it is going to go at least down and test that 370 area. But more importantly, it is encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. And I think that that is perhaps a somewhat more important characteristic, that it had rallied for almost 2 full years to get up to 400. Now it has pulled back and it's encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. It is going to have to continue to find support at the lower side of this 1 month range if we're going to give the benefit of the doubt to continued higher to lateral ranging. And it's a similar condition with the FTSE 100, that it had been a pretty modest rally over the course of the last couple of weeks, but it was coming down in a more dynamic fashion in here today. And one of the things that was contributing to that weakness in these European stock markets is the strength of their respective currencies. So the euro was up about 50 ticks, and the pound, following Hammond's defense of the economy in his spring announcement, the pound was up about 60 ticks. Now, when we look at Japan, well, the Japanese market has been bouncing from this 21,000 level, but it bears more of a resemblance, I think, to what's going on in Europe than what's going on in the Nasdaq, that so far this rally has been reasonably feeble, and it is going to have to continue to hold that 21,000 level if we're going to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The banking sector has been steadying over the course of the last couple of weeks. Personally, I have not jumped back in because I do think that we're still in this corrective phase, and it will eventually run its course, and we'll probably get a, at least if we don't get a better buying opportunity, the chances are that we'll get a, I think, a chart formation that shows at least some support has been put in, so that I would have greater confidence in jumping back into the market. So when we look at the a number of these emerging markets, for example, the Nifty index in India is right in the region of the trend mean and has bounced over the last 5 sessions, but I think we are in for some additional consolidation in here. The H share index in Hong Kong has bounced pretty impressively over the course of the last 10 days, but it's now back in the region of that downside key at the end of February, and this is a natural area for some additional consolidation. And I think that it is worth just looking at these longer term charts, because very, very clearly we can see that there was a massive reaction against the prevailing trend following what had been an accelerating environment. And we can't simply ignore that is going to have a somewhat longer term effect on sentiment. It isn't something that the market will just shake off over the course of a weekend. Rather, that we could be in for ranging that could last months. And what it suggests is that we are probably in for a more volatile environment. Well, the VIX index is now at just about 16, and it continues to hold the region of the upper side of that underlying trading range. Well, I suspect that that is going to continue to be the case, that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and that there is potential for some additional upside over the course of the next few days. Well, against that background, then, gold prices were a little bit steadier in here today, and this continues to look like a reasonable. I think a reasonably steady consolidation below the upper side of what is a developing base formation. And it could range for a while longer, But as long as it's holding the region of the trend mean, then this will continue to look like a very steady consolidation at the upper side of this 5-year base formation. Then when we look at the oil price, well, oil was down about 40 cents in here today. It's been very inert around this $65 area, but it isn't pushing up in a dynamic manner. And considering that it also had a larger pullback than we'd seen since June, then that is also something that is going to have to take time for confidence to be rebuilt. $60 represents, I think, a key psychological level for energy investors. And if we see the price taking out the lows that have been put in over the course of this month so far, then it is going to increase the potential that we're going to go back down and test the $60 area. And that would then mean we have a lower high and a lower low. So what it would begin to suggest is that a peak of not just short-term significance was reached back in January, but potentially medium-term significance. And I think that when we then think about where are we in terms of this bond market, the yield was down to 2.84 in here today. It's still very much within this range above 2.8%. There is the potential that this short-term oversold condition on the price and overbought condition on the yield could be unwound. Even back in 2013, we saw a reversion to the mean before a new high was reached, and then that eventually failed as well. There is still really quite a wide overextension on the yield, and there is potential for some compression over the course of the next few months, particularly if we move into a more corrective environment on Wall Street. When we look at, I've already put up the chart of Boeing, so perhaps we can also look at Caterpillar. These were the leading shares on the Dow Jones over the course of the last 2 years, and they do look susceptible to some additional consolidation. And considering that they have been among the leaders in the last couple of years, and that some of the technology shares are exhibiting potentially failed upside breaks, then what that at least begins to suggest is that we are still in a corrective environment, that we have had a very impressive rebound, and that now there is potential for at least some consolidation and pause. And I think that people will start to look at some of these technology shares as potential short opportunities if you get failed upside breaks. And it's that conclusion that helps to drive them back down to the lower side of their respective ranges when you get failed upside breaks. So I think that is perhaps the most important piece of news that we've had in here today. Then when we look at some of the commodity related markets, they're unlikely to escape unscathed. And the Australian market has bounced impressively from that 5,800 level, but this is a market that has two lower highs already. And if it follows through on the downside tomorrow, well, then it'll be a third lower high. And that has to be taken in the context of the medium-term trend, where it is just about holding the region of the trend mean. That this is a common characteristic to a large number of markets, that they have been rallying in a very persistent manner since early 2016, and that the pace of their advances has begun to deteriorate. So now the question is, are they going to be able to continue to hold these progressions of higher reaction lows? I think that's a very big question for some of these indices. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.